fast note before we get started today. Please know this podcast may contain content that may be disturbing to some listeners. All opinions expressed are that of the individual and are not meant as a substitute for professional mental health or medical advice. We advise reading the show notes for more detailed description before you listen to this podcast. Remember, mental health matters. Please take good care of yourself. Hello and welcome. It's Tammy Lawrence, Symbolisti here. Thank you for joining us for the I'm Still Here, Messages from the Other Side podcast. Each week, we'll be talking to individuals who believe that they have had messages from the other side. So interesting to hear as we all share our time together, still here. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Melissa Bright. Melissa is on a mission to help people not feel alone in their struggles. She is the host and creator of the Bright Side of Life podcast, a mental health podcast that navigates and discusses people's successful journeys to happiness despite their struggles. Melissa has also experienced a lot of grief in her life. We will let her share that portion of her story with us. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Tammy. I am so happy to be here and to share my story, and thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Oh, thank you. We're so grateful to have you speak with us, and I look forward to hearing your story.
Thank you.
Good. So you have had some losses in your life, some significant losses.
I have. At the age of 25, I'll actually back up a little bit because this kind of plays significance in my stories. At the age of 16, I had my daughter. And at that time, my mom was my biggest support system. My parents were divorced. When I got pregnant, you know, of course she was a little bit disappointed because she knew where I was gonna struggle and things like that. But she and I really, that's when we became close. We never had a bad relationship, but when you add this layer of already your parents, you know, your mom now knows you've had sex, you can't hide that, you're going to have a kid. We just became really close. And when I had my daughter, it was like she had fallen in love all over again. So really for 10 years, my mom got a chance to have a grandchild because I was the first one to have kids. I was 25 and she was diagnosed with COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. And she was diagnosed with that and gone 8 months later. She was hospitalized like 3 times. Really, she was kind of over the pain of getting everything stuck in her lungs to inflate her lungs. They had collapsed 4 times in 8 months. And so she had decided to go on hospice and really took a very, very quick decline. For me, at the age of 25, that is absolutely the worst nightmare coming true. I never in a million years thought that by the age of 25, I would lose my mom and my best friend. And it's kind of been quite a journey ever since she's been gone. But
it's really hard for me at the age of 50 to have lost my mom. Well, I wasn't even 50 yet. I was 49. My mom was 69 when she passed away. And I didn't expect that. And I know how hard it was at midlife for that to happen. I can't even imagine 25 years earlier. Oh my goodness, it would have been insurmountable.
Yeah. And also the reason why I brought up my daughter is because she was 10 at the time that my mom passed away. And so here I was about to go into these, like, I feel most important years of my daughter's life without the support of my mom to tell me, Mom, what do I do? How do I handle this if something happens? And I was really, really scared. Thankfully, everything turned out okay. And my daughter is amazing. And we didn't have that many issues, but you don't know what's going to happen. And that was a very, very, very scary time for me. My daughter had just lost her grandma, who she was with all the time. I mean, my mom, they watched her on weekends, you know, when I was working. And so that was just another layer of the hard part of losing somebody.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And you also lost your father as well, I understand.
I did. So my dad, actually, he's had a lot of heart problems. And in January of this year, he went in because they found an infection or something in November. And they said, you have to get a new heart ASAP. He went in for a procedure, a quite simple one. And the more they searched, they found that he needed a new heart. Not only were they going to give him a new heart, but it had done a lot of damage to his kidney. So he was going to have a double transplant. And they managed to get the heart transferred went okay, but he was really in critical condition, and then did the kidney and he just never could make it out of those surgeries. I guess it just took too hard of a hit on his body. That one was hard in the regards that my dad and I had not really been close since I was a little kid. He had really hard time showing emotion, showing affection. And that's something as a woman, you really long to have. Like, I wanted to be a daddy's girl per se. And for a long time thought, what is wrong with me for my dad not to want to be in not only my life, but in my brother's life? And he had just moved to the same state that I live in now. He retired. And this was our chance. This was after COVID. My dad's within 3 hours. I'm going to go see him. I want to make this work. I want to make this work. So when he passed away, I literally screamed bloody murder because I knew now I was never going to get the chance to have a real conversation with him about why we weren't in each other's lives more. And that's hard. That's hard in itself. And that's something that you have to, now I just have to accept it. It's not always easy accepting things. So that one's been hard. Thankfully I was in therapy at that time when I lost my dad, so I could really navigate that. And my therapist really talked me, I don't want to say down from stuff, but just beliefs I had in my head, you know, of him suffering, and like that would just be in my mind all the time. And she's like, that's not necessarily the case. And so that it really helped that I was in therapy at that time.
Absolutely. I think, I'm sorry you had to go through that, by the way.
Thank you.
When they pass away, as people who are very close to us, well, or not, I mean, close in relation, right, not heartfelt.
Sure.
It's harder through the grieving process when we haven't fixed our stuff with them. The grieving more challenging. Grief is already hard enough as it is, but when we haven't fixed those little details with relationships, it's so much harder to let them go.
Yeah, it really is, because you just wonder the what if, and it's just like, how crazy is it? My dad hasn't lived in Missouri since I've been, oh my gosh, 10 or 11. And he moved in May of 2020 here to retire. And I tried to see him twice, but apparently he was in such poor health, didn't find that out till later. And he was just really scared of COVID. And so I wasn't able to come. And that was really hard, because I was like, I could stand in the yard, Dad, like, you haven't seen me in 4 years. Didn't say that, of course, but you just go through like what ifs and why nots and all that stuff. So it is hard, but I just can't hold on to that, because I won't heal. One of the easiest, best ways that I've kind of healed from my dad not being in my life is knowing that I truly believe that he was hurting in some ways too. He was raised by a kind of abusive father. They were really hard on him, much like he was us. And I don't think he was ever given the proper tools of how to love and show affection to his children. And I know that probably wasn't easy. I don't think he was happy that he was the way he was. And that's really helped in my acceptance and grieving process.
I think you're really hitting the nail on the head there, Melissa, because we can want people to be different than they are, but they can only give what they have to offer. So yep, their level of understanding of life or what they've been taught. And we could say, oh, well, that was years ago, they should change that by now. But people are programmed that way. They don't have an understanding of how to change it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know that, because I'm trying to change right now some of the patterns that I was taught from my dad, like not having patience and really just, I don't want to say I do overreact, but a lot of behaviors that I was just taught from him, and that I don't want to do that. I did that for a long time with my daughter, and I'm trying to break those behaviors now. And it's not easy, because sometimes they're so instinctual. You just do them and you're not mindful. Now I'm trying to be mindful of, okay, take a step back, Melissa, like think about how you're about to react. Is this okay? Is this appropriate? So for a long time I was angry. Of course I was angry. And then I flipped the script, and I came from it as a place from compassion. And that truly was the conversation I wanted to have with my dad, was the compassion part, and say, you know, I didn't want to come at him and make him defensive. I wanted to say, Dad, I understand. Obviously something happened. You were raised in such a way, whatever I was going to say. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry, but I want to fix this. Do you think it's possible? And obviously that didn't happen. So, but it's helped with my healing.
Good. And now that just specifically your dad, then we'll get back to your mom in a moment.
Yeah.
Your dad, did you have those conversations with him in your mind or maybe in journal format or something? Like how have you jumped from bringing that compassion? Do you feel a sense of solace? You've been able to work through it or?
Yeah. So I had talked to my therapist about my dad for a while before he passed away, because that was part of my healing process because of, I say, he made me who I was and short tempered and angry and sarcastic and don't always give people grace. And so she really told me like, hey, why don't you have a conversation with your dad? Don't have expectations because you don't know what he's going to say. We had kind of sat on that for a little bit. I was probably scared. I was more scared of rejection. I was scared if I said all this to him and he still said, well, you didn't call me either, something that was going to really hurt. And so I sat on it. And then, you know, nothing ever happened. And that's why when I found out he passed away, I was just like, it won't ever happen now. I can't even forgive him for this stuff. You know, I feel like this helps me, at least it helps me. I think he now knows because I think he's somewhere with me. I think he knows that I forgive him, but I'm also, you know, mad that he gave me certain traits and stuff that I'm trying to break. But yeah.
Yeah. I found what I did was I'd write letters to them and then I put a little candle under it and just set the intention that those messages were going off to heaven. And as you said, they're with you somewhere anyhow, so you probably don't need the whole ritual procedure, but it's nice to, it kind of helps you feel like you've done something as far as an action step to move into the next level of healing.
Absolutely. And I am all for whatever people have to do to heal from a loss. I say, go for it. You know, whatever that means for you. I think writing the letter, that is such a great idea. And that's something that I probably should do. You know, my therapist also said, because my dad did not have a funeral. I did not know that he was cremated. I mean, I got no goodbye, like didn't get to see him. There was no funeral. It was just like, okay, we're done. Like move on with your life. Holy crap. How do you do that? How do you just go back, you know, a month later? Okay. So she mentioned like maybe just like having a day where you honor him in some way, whatever that means for you, whatever your dad may have had. So I think that letter is brilliant, really.
Mm-hmm. And that way you get to say everything that you wanted to say, even calling names.
Yeah.
It's needed. Can let that anger out just one more time.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when your mom passed away, did she by any chance have contact with you? Do you feel from the other side?
So I want to say yes. She had passed away and, you know, you go through the process of going to set up funeral arrangements and stuff like this. She passed away on August 6th. And if you know anything about St. Louis, Missouri, it is hot. It is humid. It is miserable. And I can't remember which day it was, but we were driving to the funeral place and it is sunny, sunny, sunny. There is zero rain in the forecast. There is nothing. And a rainbow came out. And I just can't help but to think that that had to have been her. Like, how does a rainbow come out when literally not even like in the distance is there rain? There is a rainbow. And so rainbows have always had a huge significance to me now. I see them a lot, usually when it is raining, obviously. But then there are other times that it's like the most recent time, 2 weeks ago, I was really going through some like personal stuff with myself and finding myself and yada yada. And I took a 2-day trip to be by myself and my puppy dog to just really like think about stuff. And on my way to the place that I was driving to, lo and behold, it rains its butt off. And I did not think the sun was ever coming out again. And here comes this beautiful double rainbow. I was bawling my eyes out in the car and here comes this rainbow. And I'm like, this has got to be my mom.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that's one way. Rainbows have always played a significant role. Now, the true question, has she ever came to visit? I have a funny story about this. My stepdad had told me, my stepdad, who is married to her, told me that he felt that she visited him in bed one time because he was laying down and he could have swore that he felt the other side of the bed, like do an indention as if she had just laid down in bed with him. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like that was comforting to him. I told myself, I was like, okay, I might try something. I might try to call upon her and say, hey, mom. So we were in this, me and my daughter were living in this apartment and I was like, okay, mom, I'm ready. Like if you want to come and talk to me or do something or show me a sign, whatever it is that you want to do, I'm ready. It had maybe been, let's say, 2 or 3 months since she had been passed. And all of a sudden in my daughter's bedroom, her door was open. These lights start coming in through the back of the window. And I was like, okay. Mom, I'm kidding. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. Well, the caveat to this story is we lived right behind a cemetery and it was a car driving at like 10 o'clock at night in the cemetery and the lights came through the window.
Perfect timing though.
I mean, can you, it's not like it was like 7 o'clock at night. It was really late. And that's why I was so freaked out. Cause I'm like, this is really late for a car to be in the cemetery. Keeping in mind, the other weird thing is I literally moved into this apartment a month after my mom passed away. And when I found out there was a cemetery behind me, I was like, this is just like God playing a cruel joke on me. This is not even funny.
Yeah, I always say the universe has a weird sense of humor.
My daughter thought it was awesome because she was into ghost stories because I was really worried about her. Mm. I didn't need to be. She was like, she thought it was cool. She wasn't worried at all. I was like, okay.
As long as you're good, I'll try and be good.
Exactly.
That's so funny. If you had some advice for someone who's going through grieving right now, what would that be?
Oh, man. Lots of advice. First thing is, do not try to push your emotions down because I promise and guarantee you that they are going to come up at some point later down the road. For me, I pushed my emotions down for 10 years, didn't deal with it, didn't really stay busy, didn't think about my mom too much. And that all came to a head during COVID. Like I just had this overwhelming feeling of wanting to talk to her all the time, to tell her about the craziness that was going on in the world. So not dealing with your emotions is not a healthy way. It is better to sit with them. It's going to be uncomfortable. It is. You're going to cry probably more times than you want to. But these things really do. Grief, if you don't handle them in a healthy way, they will take form in your body in other ways. I developed debilitating anxiety after my mom passed away. 10 years later, finally got medicated for that. Sitting with those emotions, it's not like it's something that you have to do the next day. I don't think that, but somewhere down the road when you think you're ready. Like I said to you earlier, talking about them and honoring them really helps me. I love to think about all the stuff that my mom gave me, like my kind heart, contrary to my dad. You know, she taught me to be respectful to adults and to always be nice to your elders and stuff like that. And that's something that I've carried on. Journaling is always a good way to get stuff out, how you feel. If you're mad, if you're angry that they're gone, if you're angry at God that they're gone, that's a normal feeling. But just to get out those emotions, no matter what they are, there's no wrong emotion for what you feel. It's what you feel. That's your reality. But to get those out and to feel them would be my best advice.
And the other component that you were sharing is this idea of therapy. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had not dealt with my mom's death for a while. I don't want to say I was in denial because it had been 10 years. I knew she wasn't coming back. But there was definitely a component where I just pushed it down and stayed busy. And my boyfriend had pointed out a couple times, like, Melissa, you're still not in a place yet where you're okay with your mom being gone. He didn't say you're not over her because he knows that that's not possible. So in 2020, when I was really losing it about my mom not being here, he's like, we're getting you into therapy, which I had done, wanted to do for a while. And it was one of the best things that I could do to talk to somebody else, to talk about, to tell me, hey, it's normal that you feel this feeling. It's normal that you feel this feeling. Because sometimes you feel guilty. Like, why am I angry? Or why am I am I a bad person because I don't think about my mom? No, that's just called not dealing with your emotions or disassociating because you don't want to deal with it. And when you have a professional tell you these things, or to tell you sometimes about like what passing means and how that feels, like I really had to get a grasp on my mom leaving this world, like how she passed away. That would break my heart because I was there with her. You know, she would calm me down. I don't want to say calm. I wasn't like hysterical, but she would tell me, you know, like ways and that she wasn't in pain and all this stuff. And it really helped. And it really helped to talk to a professional to really put names to emotions, names to what you're feeling, and just say, this is, you are not crazy. You're probably the 500th client that have told me something similar, you know? Mm-hmm. And that feels good because you're not the only one.
Absolutely. I know I only went to talk to a grief counselor one time because I felt like I wasn't grieving correctly. And yeah. That was the big thing that she got over into my mind. She said, what do you mean you're trying to tell me there's a right way to grieve? Because I wasn't as sad as I felt I should have been more sad when my mom passed away. I was at peace with her passing. But again, this goes back to closeness in relationship. Because we were so close, I miss her terribly, obviously, but because we were so close, everything had already been said. So there wasn't anything left to say beyond the final goodbye. And so her big advice was, there's not a right way to grieve. You can't tell me that there is. And that was enlightening for me. I was like, oh, right.
And that's a thing that I feel like that is really... people don't understand the grieving process because there is a process, but it doesn't go in order. You know, some people feel angry at first. Some people go straight in denial. Some people go straight into bargaining. Some of these phases last longer than others. And so there are certain stages of grief, but they don't come at certain times. There's not a written handbook on how it happens. And that's relieving to know also, you know, There is no handbook and you're not doing it any wrong way. Unless, of course, you're like drinking every day of your life or turning to drugs or like, okay, yes, maybe that you shouldn't be doing that. But in terms of the actual grieving, when my dad passed away, my stepmom, she said, Melissa, she said, I'm so angry at God and I feel bad that I'm angry at God. She didn't understand the grieving process. She didn't know that there were stages of grief, and anger is a big one. And I said, Ellen, I said, I know you feel guilty for being mad at God. I understand that because you love him. I'm like, but this is normal. This is normal to feel angry at whoever you want to point your anger at. And she's like, it is. And I'm like, yes, that's a stage of grief. Anger is one. And I think that helped her a little bit because she was really feeling guilty for being angry at God, which that makes sense.
A valid emotion to be going through.
Absolutely. Last advice I would say is truly understanding the grief. Google it. Look up your stages of grief. And if you're like, why do I feel like I'm trying to tell God if you give him back to me, I'll do this and I'll be the best Christian ever. These are all stages of grief. And if you know what they are, you'll kind of know, okay, I'm not a crazy one for feeling this way.
Mm-hmm. That and I think you made a good point too about there's not a handbook. So it's not like an easy connect the dots. Okay, I'm going from anger to denial to no, you're all over the place. It's one wave that's like a tsunami and the next one is just a little current. Like it's everywhere, right?
Yep. Yep. It absolutely is.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to find you online, Melissa, where would they go?
Yeah. So you can find me at thebrightsideoflifepodcast.com. And that has all my information and it has my podcast information on there. And that's where you can find me. And that takes you to all my social medias also.
Very good. Awesome. Well, we'll put a link to that in the show notes so that people can just one click and off they go and they can go and discover some of the things that you offer. And your podcast is amazing. I've listened to a few of them and I love the name of it, The Bright Side of Life. And the fact that you've got Bright as a last name makes it that much more endearing.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us today and sharing your story. I know it wasn't easy. It was important and I think it'll be helpful to someone.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Melissa. Bye.
Bye.
We're so grateful for our guests for sharing their time with us and sharing their experiences. It's wonderful to know that we're not alone, and it's so great to hear that even though our loved ones have passed, that they are still here with connections, albeit different from before. Be sure to subscribe and to share this podcast. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Please email me. We're also grateful to Kevin McLeod and to Computech for sharing this wonderful background music entitled Happy Dreams. Thank you for sharing your time with us. May you enjoy your time still being here.